Greet each one in Christ's worthy name again this morning. Let all things their Creator bless. And I trust we have done that already this morning before we gathered. But I trust that that will continue to happen as we have gathered corporately. Invite your attention to Hebrews chapter 2. I'd like to think a bit this morning about Christ as our high priest. And after I've read this portion of scripture, I'd like to open it up for you to have input on how Christ's priesthood is better and in some ways contrasting to the old priesthood. And invite your input on that. Hebrews 2, I'll be starting to read in verse 9 and following. Hebrews 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. A priest, a one who mediates between man and God. And that is what Christ did. He filled up the gap that was between man and between God, and he crossed that chasm. So, you don't have to look just at this passage for ways that Christ's priesthood is superior or different from the old priesthood, but what are some areas where Christ's priesthood is different? What are some of the differences? He was sinless. And the Old Testament priests had faults. Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay, without beginning and without end. That he what? That's right. He faced the temptations, but he still was sinless.
He gave his own body as a sacrifice rather than other both as a priest also.
Very good. Mm-hmm.
If we have a present, we don't have to go to the priest. He is the
good. Mm-hmm. Give salvation that's lasting, not just a temporary fix.
He is the great I am. He is not some who was.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He's in the Holy of Holies every day versus once a year.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. The number of those I had listed. The Old Testament priesthood, it was a temporary priesthood. Christ's priesthood is eternal. It was mentioned that there's one priest now. There's not a successive line of priests that happen. Christ is the one and only great high priest. One thing I thought of, the priestly garments that they wore in the Old Testament, pretty ornate, with the ephod and the stones on the shoulders with the names of the children of Israel, and the crown, the mitre that the high priest wore with holiness to the Lord. How does that compare with how Christ was when he was on the cross, when he took off all his garments and he hung there? A pretty stark contrast there, not just something better or whatever, but it's a contrast to how the Old Testament priests, when they were offering, how Christ is clothed now. He's clothed in righteousness, otherwise I don't know. But right at that point, there was a difference. And even in his daily walk of life, from what I would understand, he wore just ordinary clothes, the clothes of the common people versus the ornate garments of the high priest. Notice it talks about so that Christ can be a merciful and faithful high priest. And the Old Testament priests were supposed to be that, as brought out in chapter 5, verse 2, talks about these priests who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And this is referring to the Old Testament priests. But it seems like during the time of Christ, the priesthood had developed into something more of a position of control and power versus a place of showing mercy to the people. The Old Testament priests were to keep themselves clean. And it was only very few exceptions that the high priest was allowed to become unclean. I think for the death of his father and mother and his wife, I think those were, not sure were there other exceptions for the high priest, but very few exceptions. He was supposed to keep himself unclean. But Christ, he went and touched the unclean. And he allowed the sinners to come and touch him and his garments. And so those are just some of the contrasts that we see. Just so grateful for the high priest that we have. And I'm not sure how all of you face it, but often the wonder of how great our high priest is, I can just sort of go through the day without giving it much thought. And it's not as, I know it up here that it is amazing, it is wonderful. But sometimes it's hard to really understand from the heart what Christ actually has done for us, redeeming us from self, from sin. He is the only way to salvation, from eternal damnation. Wonderful gift. And I would like to experience more the wonder of that on an ongoing basis. In Hebrews 4, verses 14 and 16, 14 through 16, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In chapter 10, verses 19 through 22, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Notice here's a difference. The high priest went into the holiest once a year, but Christ made it available for all of us to enter into the holiest. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And so we can come into the presence of God through Jesus Christ. Now, when it talks about coming boldly or with boldness, it's not coming with a swagger and here I am, but it's coming with assurance and confidence and in humility. We have to come in humility. If it's not in humility, I don't think we're really coming at all. It has to be in humbleness. In 10 verse 14, it says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." And the passage in chapter 2 that I had read says, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one." We're all part of the same family, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And so we have a wonderful privilege as we acknowledge Christ and we believe in him as the Son of God, as our great high priest, and we allow that to change our lives. We become one with him. That is wonderful, brothers and sisters. Sometimes the wonder of it may be lost on us, but it's there. And I'd just like to remind us of that again this morning. Shall we kneel and pray? This morning, we thank you, Jesus, for being our high priest. You are the only way. You are the only truth and the life. And it's only through you that we come to God the Father. Thank you, God, for giving your Son to be our high priest. And thank you for the union that we can have as a body of believers with each other and with you through Jesus Christ. Thank you for that privilege. And I just pray that we would gain a little bit more of the wonder of our redemption, and that it would inform us in how we live this coming week. Glorify your name. You are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.